another. With the name of love above all other. In every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. And today we are going to be talking about a very important topic. You probably know what it is. It's coming up shortly. It's Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about how many blessings we have received in our individual lives and as a church here in the Twin Cities. We've received so many, and we have so many reasons to be thankful. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to be talking about evangelization, which we always do, but in the context of education. We've got two gentlemen who are going to be joining us in just a few minutes from St. Agnes School. Many of you are familiar with St. Agnes. Maybe you have kids there. There's over 600 children involved in that school right now, and that's one of the bright lights in our archdiocese. We have many fine schools, but we're going to talk about evangelization in the context of education today. Well, maybe you're busy getting ready for Thanksgiving. It's only, you know, right around the corner. And sometimes this can be a really hectic time of the year for people, particularly because they're getting ready with all the cooking and then Christmas is coming up around the corner. But sometimes family gets together, and oftentimes that turns out really good, but sometimes that can add stress to your life. But in the midst of all of it, we can find reasons to thank God. And a little bit later on in the show, I want to talk to you about the biblical roots of Thanksgiving and what Thanksgiving can do for you to turn your life around. We're also going to be hearing from a number of people in the Archdiocese that head up ministries and apostolates, and we're going to talk to them for maybe a couple minutes apiece just to hear what they're thankful for, including, guess who's stopping by the show today? Archbishop Hebda, and he's going to be talking to us about Thanksgiving. And he's going to tell us what he's thankful for in the Archdiocese. You know, as you look in the Bible, just to give you a little bit of a hint where we're going here, as you look in the Bible, we see that Thanksgiving is so central to the life of Israel that they literally have a couple times a day where they give thank offerings, they give different types of offerings, but they give thanks every day. In fact, King David thought that giving thanks was so important that he really made it a part of the daily regimen. And I think that we need to do that too, is to offer thanks. When you offer thanks to God, or in Hebrew we would say todah, todah is the word for thanks. If you go to Israel, you'll hear people say todah rabah, thank you very much. If you really understand thanks, todah, you'll understand that giving thanks to God doesn't change God at all, because he doesn't change. But giving thanks to God at this time of the year creates a stage on which God can demonstrate his power in your life. It changes your heart. It changes the way you look at circumstances. You know, sometimes we look at, you know, the situations that we're going through and we think, oh, you know, woe is me. I'm such a worm. Things always turn out so poorly. Well, stop thinking that way. Start to examine your own heart and look for the things that you are thankful for, the little gifts that God has given you throughout the day. St. Ignatius came up with a great exercise at the end of the day called the examine prayer, and it's just a few steps every night to take a look back at that little YouTube video that God took of you during the day, and to rewind and go through it and see how your day went. And every night that you do the examine prayer, it starts with thanksgiving, and that is very important. You say, well, why would I start with thanksgiving at the end of the day? Because when you look back at your day, and you look at the gifts that God has given you and the blessings, the important thing to remember is that the gift is tied to the giver. And when you give thanks, it brings you right back to God at the end of the day. And that's a beautiful way to end your day. Most of us have been around people who are not very thankful. They're not fun people to be around. Wouldn't you agree? But if you're around thankful people, it's kind of contagious. They make you happy. They lift your heart. Well, you can become that kind of a thankful person this year. And I just encourage you right now, before Thanksgiving rolls around and all the relatives come in, start making a little list of what you're thankful for this year and be a thankful person around that table this year. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk with Fred Blonigan. He is the theology teacher over at St. Agnes. And also joining us is Michael Adkins, and he's the academic dean of St. Agnes from 2009 to the present. We're going to talk about a big turnaround in that school. But also, we're going to talk about how do you evangelize in a school, both parents and kids. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. You're going to be very, very thankful. Rediscover.
Oh my gosh, look at this family room. It is incredible. Who did the work?
I was listening to Relevant Radio and heard an ad for Becker Building and Remodeling, and they did the job, and we love it.
Didn't you tell me you bought your car after hearing an ad on Relevant Radio?
I did. I listen all the time.
Hey, great party, great grill. Man, you must have paid a lot here.
Nope, heard about it on Relevant Radio and bought it yesterday.
And this backyard living space. Wow, let me guess.
That's right, Relevant Radio. I heard about American Landscape and they made it happen.
Does your business have the sound? If it does, people are coming in and buying your products and telling others about you. Branding, building awareness, and driving traffic. Let the professionally trained Relevant Radio marketing consultants help you give your business the sound. Send an email to businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. Businessbuilding@relevantradio.com. We'll take it from there. Sound good?
Come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Leaves still falling from the trees, maybe a few of them left, wind still blowing. Getting ready to go into winter. Some of you want to hibernate and go crawl up with a cup of tea by the fireplace. You know, during this time of the year, as things are falling to the ground, we kind of reverse that by saying, Lord, I'm so grateful for all you've given me this last year. One of the things that we're so grateful for in the Twin Cities is the high schools and the Catholic schools around the Twin Cities who have been a part of forming kids for over 100 years in the Twin Cities. One of those schools is St. Agnes. And joining me on the show today is the theology professor there, I guess you could say professor, teacher, mentor, Fred Blonigan, and also the academic dean, Michael Adkins. Both of you, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's good to have you. And we are thankful this time of the year for so many schools. I mean, we could have actually chosen several of the schools to come on just to say we're so thankful for you guys and the work that you do. And it's a work that forms young minds and young hearts today. And hopefully we'll see the fruit of that tomorrow. But your school has an interesting story, you know, just in the last few years of going from you weren't sure you were going to be around to today. You're very healthy and thriving, and we want to talk a little bit about that turnaround. We're so thankful for it. But we also want to talk about evangelization within the school. What's the story of St. Agnes? You guys have made an incredible turnaround in the after the halftime show.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I'd say St. Agnes's history, it started in 1888, is similar to that of the church in that, you know, you look back at the long history of the church. A professor, I think at Steubenville, Alan Schreck, has a great book, A Small History of the Church, and he shows how the church goes in these cycles where she waxes and wanes, and you see great crises in the church, and you see great triumphs in the mm-hmm. church. And so in the last decade, St. Agnes was in a bit of a crisis in 2006, 2007, and has had really a miraculous turnaround. And now we're in a place where we're serving about 675 students across 80 zip codes. And I think it's a testament to
80
like,
zip codes.
That's right. Yeah, we have. It's very much a destination school.
People sounds come like you got people from Wisconsin even coming over.
That's right. We let people from Wisconsin. So.
80 zip codes. That is amazing. That's quite a footprint.
That's right. Yeah, I think I really do believe that when a school is faithful to the Lord, that the Lord will bless it, and mm-hmm. he's going to bring an abundance of fruits. You know, we're coming upon Thanksgiving here. There's a real, God will reward you. You will be thankful as a Catholic school if you honor him, and there will be a lot of good fruit born from it.
So you almost went down, but it turned around. What would you attribute it to? Fred, you teach theology at the school. What do you attribute this turnaround to?
Well, I think I attribute to God, really, because we were very close twice in the last 10 years to close, and people were praying, and I've long said that God wants this school to go on, mm-hmm. and he found a way, even though, I mean, we were literally a few days from closing, and there were some practical things we did. We went out in the streets, literally, mm-hmm. and put up our signs, and people saw the signs, and they were in the paper, and big donors saw them, and so that helped to rescue us, but I'm convinced that God was behind that, and money came in, and ever since then, we've been building, and now we're on pretty strong and stable ground.
I get a chance as I travel around the country to visit different schools, and there's certainly some standouts around the country of elementary schools, which you're K through 12. You, right. I mean, you're everything there. But there's common denominators in some of these great schools, and one of them is that you're not purely an academic prep school for college, even though you do that very, very well. But there's really a holistic approach here about the faith and all of the other disciplines. And what we're interested in today talking about is evangelization.
Yeah, I think that we make a great effort at St. Agnes. We emphasize the theology program. Everyone has to take the classes, whether they're Catholic or not. And they take the same classes. We don't change the classes for them. But at the same time, we want to make sure that theology isn't just taught by the theology teacher, mm-hmm. myself and others, that the faith is integrated into every class somehow. So whether you're teaching science or math or history, you bring into that class as much as possible the faith. I mean, that seems to me what every Catholic school should be doing.
Sure.
They should be integrating the faith into every discipline so that the students understand this is not just one discipline among many. If you're authentically Catholic, it has to, in a sense, infiltrate every class.
Doesn't it stand to reason that if you grew up thinking that religion class was in room 106 at 1 o'clock and the rest of your life was in 104, 102, and 103 at different times, that when you grow up, you might approach life the same way?
Right.
That, yeah. That yeah. your faith is Sunday, but it doesn't have anything to do with the bioethics, yeah. you know, laboratory I work for or anything else.
Absolutely. I think it's very easy to compartmentalize academics and education because we divide these things up in universities and colleges into departments, and schools and K-12 schools are subjects and classes and departments there as well. So it's really easy to do that and fall into that trap. And so I think two things that have really helped St. Agnes's success pop are, number one, the mission aims very purposefully to integrate faith and reason. And number two, bringing in people to teach these classes who really love their faith, mm-hmm. love their subject matter, and see a unity between them. I think that's key, is to bring in people who are inspired, teachers who teach not just for subjects, but for mission. There's a beautiful document by Pope Benedict XVI. It was in 2012, January 1st, 2012. The popes always put out a World Day of Justice and Peace message. And that one was called, in 2012, Educating Young People in Justice and Peace. And it's a magnificent short document. He's such a good writer. And what he talked about in there regarding teachers is schools, especially Catholic schools, need authentic witnesses. Mm-hmm. That's what young people need. They need authentic witnesses because if we can't stand behind and live out what we're teaching them every day, young people, they have a real ability to see through a superficial witness, or to see through somebody who's not authentically living what they preach each day in class.
If you just joined us, that was the voice of Michael Adkins. He is the academic dean at St. Agnes, and also with us, Fred Blonigan, who teaches theology there. Michael, you were mentioning the importance of bringing the right people in, and I think that if a Catholic school is going to be really effective, it doesn't just happen on its own. You do have to bring the right leadership in, the right teachers, those that understand the overall worldview of a Catholic, not just the theology department, but how does your faith affect math, biology, phi ed? Do they still call it phi ed, Jim?
That's right. That's right.
How does social studies, communications, ethics, morality, all of this? And you have been taking some students from an institution here in the Twin Cities, a great number of them, which I find an interesting fact about St. Agnes.
That's right. Yeah, we have actually hired quite a few young men and women who've been in the Catholic Studies program at the University of St. Thomas. I do want to say it's not a litmus test to gain employment at St. Agnes, but what's so great about folks who have Catholic Studies majors is they're very bright. They know they're very good at English. They're very good in reading literature well. They know history. They know politics. They know economics. But what is so wonderful is they know how to integrate their faith and those things with their faith, and they know how to think with the church. Mm-hmm. And so Catholic Studies majors have such an advantage because they have what we're trying to do with our students. We're trying to develop a Catholic mind in them, and that's a way of seeing the world. St. Augustine, St. Benedict call it with the ear of the heart. And so We've been happy to bring those folks on, as well as people who've been at the Catechetical Institute, mm-hmm. who've been at the seminary, people who formerly been in the seminary for seeking the priesthood. So that's really important because those folks have a real ability to integrate faith and reason very well.
I met a young man that graduated from St. Agnes, Andrew Kippers. What an outstanding young man. He went on, he was so well prepared at your school, he went on to Catholic University in Washington. I think the young man won every award they have out there, and he came back to the Twin Cities and now has a job in St. Paul. But he's a standout man, I think, at any school, but I imagine that there's an awful lot of students like that that leave St. Agnes and they go out, get prepared, and take on important roles in society.
I had Andrew as a student.
Oh, did you?
And he was a great student. In fact, he was a co-valedictorian that year. Mm-hmm. And I also had several of his other siblings. But yeah, Andrew's a great example, really, of what St. Agnes has done over the years. And I've been there for 31 years, so I've seen a lot of Andrew Kippers over mm-hmm. the years. And it's always very gratifying when sometimes years later you hear from a student that you had in class, and he's or she's been a great success, and they have really put their faith into practice. I mean, it's very gratifying. You realize that what you did is bearing fruit, even sometimes many years later. And Andrew's a good example of that.
Yeah, in terms of evangelization, how do you go about it? Because I would imagine you're looking at evangelizing students, but with students come parents.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You know, first of all, I'd say in the environment of the school itself has to be imbued with the sacramental life, with the life of prayer, with the images and statues and icons and crucifixes, real crucifixes on the wall, if you can imagine it, at a Catholic school. We take those things very seriously because all those little things, sacramentals to what you teach in the classroom, the actual subject matter, it all contributes. Do you put a priority on going to Mass? Do you take time in Advent and during Lent to give students the opportunity, while you have them, a captive audience, to go to confession? Mm-hmm. Because the reality is these young people, they're in school 7 to 8 hours every single day. And if you look at a 24-hour day, they're almost with us more at school of their awake time than they are with their parents. And we just have to be honest. So it's a huge responsibility. And that's why there's such an advantage for a school like St. Agnes. It's a parish school to have a physical church on campus. We have priests in our classrooms. We used to have sisters, the Sisters of Charity of Our Lady, Mother of the Church, were with us for 10 years. Unfortunately, they were recalled back to their mother house. And we see it's such an importance to have religious life present in the building.
Right.
Nuns and habits that we're seeking another group to join us hopefully soon. But those things are very, very valuable signs.
I would think also that one of the gauges of a good Catholic institution, institution of learning, is vocations.
Yes. And we've had many of them. I was just thinking about that a couple of days ago. One of my former students, she graduated 10 years ago. She came back to visit, and she's now a religious. She's a sister in an order in Spain, and her sister, her sibling, is also in Spain. And a friend of hers who is in the same class with her is a religious in Florida. And I was doing a count the other day after she came to see me. I think I've had at least a dozen young ladies who are now nuns.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
And I think I'm up to as of next when next spring comes around, there's two former students who are in the last year of seminary right now. Mm-hmm. And that'll bring my total up to six former students who are now priests. So
that's a good testimony. You know, in getting your children into a good Catholic education, there's no doubt. I mean, it used to be cheaper years ago because the religious were primary teachers, and there's you know that whole story. And a lot of laity are teaching today. Consequently, the prices have gone up a little bit, and it is a sacrifice for parents to put their kids through school. But there's an interesting dynamic that takes place sometimes, and I guess I would call it the parents who I would call the Starbucks caribou parents, and that's we drop them off, we go out and have a cup of coffee, and hope you guys take care of things for us and make these kids saints. But it doesn't work out that way, does it? If you're going to pay that kind of money to put your kids through school, it would stand to reason that you would be involved in their education or involved in the life of the school. Is that part of your evangelization project or the way you're operating?
Yeah, I think very much. I mean, we are very fortunate. We have great parents at St. Agnes. I mean, as long as I've been at St. Agnes, I can say we've always had great parents. And they're very involved in the lives of their children. They're very concerned about their academics. But I think it's fair to say that a large percentage of those parents are sending their sons and daughters to St. Agnes because of the faith. They want to make sure that the faith is primary and that they are rooted in the faith. They're concerned about their academic success, but we have 80 zip codes for a reason, and I think the faith is at the top. And right below that is academic excellence. So our parents are extremely involved and concerned and very supportive of what we do. I mean, honestly, they're amazing people because they're always supporting the teachers.
So yeah, I know your basic attitude is towards the parents is not we'll take it from here, but you want them to be involved. What are some of the ways that parents are involved together with you in evangelizing their children?
Well, absolutely, yeah, it's a partnership, no doubt about it. And when we bring in new families, we always let them know that this is what this school is about. These are our priorities, and so we need to know that you're on board and going to be supportive of what we're doing, because without their support, if the parents, you know, if parents aren't doing their job, whether it be from the small things of making sure homework's done to being models of prayer and discipleship, we can be talking all day, requesting things be completed by deadlines, holding high standards, preparing them for college life beyond, telling them that it's important to pray, but if their parents aren't doing that, it all falls apart. And so our parents are really a key aspect of that. We have a lot of volunteer opportunities within our school, and those are really important to see. As a school that serves 80 zip codes, it's a destination school. And so a lot of the things we do, athletic events, so on and so forth, our annual banquet that helps fund the school, the red and white dinner, we really rely on students and parents and really families. We speak about our school as a group of families. It's community and family, and so that's paramount.
Well, I can tell you that I probably would hear that from most schools, that we're about family, we're about community, and so forth. I don't know if that is true of all schools, but I do know it's true of St. Agnes, because I've been around the families, and I know that when you say that we really are about the family and teaching these kids, it really is true. And parents, when they shop around, you know, to get their kids into a good school, they look for certain things. With the few minutes that we have left, gentlemen, what would you say if people are looking for a school? You naturally would want them to come to St. Agnes, but if they're looking for a school, what are a few criteria that they should think about? And What about the finances? When someone comes and says, guys, we'd love to have our kids in a school like this, but I'm a single mom, or we have a very low income, or I've got six other kids, and we just don't know what we should do. What would you say about the criteria to think about getting into a school, choosing a school, and what about the financial difficulties? Some of these families that really do want to be there, but they don't see it happening.
I think for parents who are looking for a good school for their children, I think the first thing they should always look for if it's a Catholic school is this school faithful to the church? Is it faithful to the magisterium? Is it teaching the truth with love? If it is, that should be number one. Everything else should be we should follow. In terms of those parents who would like to come to St. Agnes and for financial reasons aren't sure if they can, or let's say have many children and they wonder if they can afford it, St. Agnes is been very generous in helping families like that. I can't answer the exact specific financial aid they're given, but I know that we have a lot of families that have many children there, and some families that are poor and they need help, and we provide that help. I think
so. There's always a way somehow something can, if a family really has a heart to put their kids through Catholic education, some way somehow things can work out, even if it doesn't look like it in their life.
Absolutely, yeah. Our school. I would first say on that financial aid piece, our school offers a lot of different forms of financial aid. One unique thing that our school does is we have what is called a Padre Pio work-study program, and so students can help maintain our facilities and different classrooms in the building, and that contributes to it. We have a lot of generous donors who want to make sure that faithfully Catholic families are able to afford a Catholic education. And our St. Agnes School, K-12, is probably one of the most, if not the most affordable Catholic school in the Archdiocese. And so I'd put that out there as well. Quite a few students receive financial aid through different means. We also have some merit-based scholarships, especially with regard to our freshman placement exam. Top scorers on that do get a credit to their tuition.
Really?
I
wouldn't have done me any good, but it's nice to know.
I myself am a parent and a consumer of Catholic education, and I think every Catholic parent, at least in my eyes, would want a school that's faithful, that has strong academics, and is going to help their child grow in virtue. Mm-hmm. And those are three pillars of our constitutional document: faith, reason, and virtue, and fidelity to the church. And so those right there are non-negotiables. And then you want to look at the record and say, well, our Lord says you shall know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. We just completed a $17 million addition to our school. We are in great financial shape. We have a classic school building in this beautiful new addition, a huge new gymnasium, 400 plus seat auditorium, new classrooms. Our programs are thriving. If you look at admissions numbers, in the Archdiocese, our numbers are up when a lot of schools are running flat and losing students. And I think if parents get out there and they talk to folks, they're gonna love what they hear.
I hope they do. I hope you do go out there. And you know, if you're looking for, you're driving down 494 or 94 right now, thinking to yourself, wow, I wish, you know, I'd like to talk to my husband about this, or I'd like to talk to my wife about it. Do your shopping. Go out, ask these questions, but don't let the finances stop you. We're talking about investing in your children, not just for a few years here on earth, but this is an eternal investment. This goes on forever and ever and ever. So think about the priorities in your own life. We've been talking with Fred Blonigan. He is the theology teacher over at St. Agnes, and also Michael Adkins, the academic dean. Before we let you go, I'm going to give you each about 15 seconds or so. We're talking about Thanksgiving for the rest of the show, and we're going to hear in just a few minutes from Archbishop Hebda what he's thankful for. What are the two of you thankful for this year as we get ready to celebrate Thanksgiving?
Well, I'm very thankful for St. Agnes and the teachers at St. Agnes, the students and the families. I'm very grateful for what God has done in and through this school, especially in the last few years. And I see St. Agnes having a very bright future.
Michael?
I am thankful for my lovely wife and my five children. I'm thankful for my faith, and I'm really thankful for such meaningful and important work in the service of the church and Catholics in this archdiocese, it's really rewarding to be a part of Catholic education. I'm really grateful to be a part of that.
Well, gentlemen, it's been good to talk to you, and blessings on St. Agnes, a great turnaround, a great story. It's almost a script for a movie, and I pray that God continues to bless your school, and we see happy marriages, fruitful marriages, dynamic single people, and clergy and religious coming out of your school to change the world. Thank you for your service. I'm grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. When we get back in just a moment, we're going to be talking about what else? Thanksgiving. And we're going to be hearing from a number of people, leaders around the Twin Cities, what they're thankful for. And guess what? Archbishop Hebda is going to be sharing with you what he is thankful for this Thanksgiving season. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about Thanksgiving. Rediscover.
Experience, quality, and flexibility are a few of the things we offer to our customers every day.
I'm Tom Ashad with TPM Flooring. TPM Flooring has grown, but our principles remain the same. We offer top selection, a free no-strings-attached consultation, all quality products, and fast installation, usually within a week or two.
The type of flooring products that are available now for your home or office are amazing, and TPM Flooring has them all and can explain how they'll fit your flooring needs. Whether it's for a high traffic area, basement family room, or wood and tile floors that add value and beauty, you'll find them at TPM Flooring. Plus, you'll get a very personalized experience in your home or at their showroom.
We'll help you find the perfect carpet, hardwood, laminate, even cabinets and countertops. Then we professionally install them and vacuum our way out the door. We've worked with several Relevant Radio listeners. If it's time to transform part of your home with new floors, call TPM Flooring at 952-746-5157.
Or tpmflooring.com, 952-746-5157.
So carry your candle, run to the darkness, seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Well, I hope that you are doing well and staying focused on Jesus as you get closer and closer to the big day, one of the great holidays in our country, Thanksgiving. Naturally, you're going to have the turkey, mashed potatoes, the cranberries, and the desserts, the pumpkin pies, a nap on the floor while a college football game is playing in the background, and you hear your aunt and uncle laughing and carrying on in the kitchen. Yep, that's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving comes around every year. And we have a lot of memories. But oftentimes, Thanksgiving can be a real trying time for families, especially if things have happened in the past and you feel that there's been conflict and so forth. It's really a good time of the year for you to exercise your faith, forgiveness, tolerance, and being patient with loved ones. It's also a time for you to be a witness to your loved ones, to your children. And you can do that by exhibiting a very grateful heart, a heart of thanksgiving. I said at the top of the show that thanksgiving or thanks in Hebrew is the word todah. Todah. You say, todah rabah, thank you very much. It's a very common phrase as you walk the streets of Jerusalem. In Jesus' day, there were many, many, many sacrifices that took place in the temple. And one of the things that the rabbis taught during Jesus' day, which I find this fascinating, I find it utterly fascinating, is that the rabbis taught that when the Messiah comes, all sacrifices will cease except for one. And you know what that one sacrifice is? It's called the Todah offering. Todah, thanksgiving. Everything's going to cease except for one sacrifice. Get that. The Todah offering, the Thanksgiving offering. Now, think with me for a minute here. You know, just we call this Winnie the Pooh theology here on the Rediscover Hour. Think. What is Thanksgiving? Well, Thanksgiving is another way of talking about the Eucharist, because Eucharist means Thanksgiving. The very center of our faith as Catholics is the Todah offering. It is the thank offering. It is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Now, think about that for a minute. This is amazing.
It is amazing that this entire holiday for America that celebrates football and turkey and cranberry and mashed potatoes and everything else is really talking about something that's at the heart of our faith, which is Thanksgiving. All throughout the Mass, we're talking about thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. It's the great thank offering, and we get to celebrate it. So during this year, I just want to draw your attention to, yeah, Thanksgiving is a big time for families to get together. For some people, Black Friday is the big deal, even though a number of companies now are saying, we're not participating in that anymore. We want you to be with your family. Well, I would say, be with the Lord. Be with your family. Be with the communion of saints. Because the communion of saints is something that we experience as Catholics every Mass. We hear the Sursum Corda, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Heaven and earth kiss in the Mass. And we celebrate the great sacrifice, the great Todah offering. We celebrate it with the great saints like Augustine and Therese and Mother Teresa and St. John Paul II and Ignatius. And we on and on. You get to go to Mass with these great saints. Thank God for that. But you also get to spend that time with the relatives who have gone before you. It's the closest you're going to get to them on this side of heaven. It's truly a remarkable event to go to Mass. And I want to really highlight that this year, that you can go to Mass and participate in the greatest thank offering ever, which is Jesus. Now, this was so important in the Bible that King David actually appointed people every day in the temple to do one thing. You're right. Sacrifice. Sacrifice what? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. To give God thanks throughout the day, every day. You know, you have Daniel in the lion's den. Remember that story, the book of Daniel? Well, Daniel, he chose three times every day to get on his knees and do what? To thank God. Three times a day. You know, developing a regular pattern of giving God thanks is something really important to us as Catholics. Not only is the Mass the center of our faith, but we should be cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving every day of the year. And then Thanksgiving can be kind of the ultimate expression of giving thanks to God during Mass. But I want to encourage you to really cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving. And there's a number of ways that you can do that. You can set that watch or your smartphone every day to go off at a particular time. We do that with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, don't we? At 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We do it with the Angelus at noon. Why not set your alarm for 1 o'clock, 4 in the afternoon, 10 in the morning, whatever it might be, 9 in the morning. And when the alarm goes off, it reminds you, I'm going to give God thanks today. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take a little break and spend a minute or two and just thank God for all the beautiful things that He has given me. You will be surprised at how that really, really changes your life. So what we're going to do now is we want to hear from some people around the Archdiocese. And I think, why don't we go ahead and start off with the biggest of all, huh? And that's Archbishop Hebda. Archbishop Hebda joined us to talk a little bit about what he is thankful for this Thanksgiving season.
This year, as I count my blessings at Thanksgiving, I, as always, know I'll be thanking the Lord for the great gift of family as my father prepares to turn 89. And I know he was so instrumental in passing on the faith, and I continue to look at my brothers and my sister as a wonderful example of God's love. So I know I'll be thanking the Lord for my family. I also know that I'll be thanking Him, and I'm so grateful for the gift of my vocation. It's been such a pleasure to serve as a priest and now as a bishop. I'm so grateful for the many consolations that the Lord gives me as well that really confirm me in my work. And whether it be consolations in prayer, whether it be the consolations that I receive from the priests and religious and lay people with whom I work day in, day out, whether it be just this interesting opportunity that I've had to serve this year. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, which has given me a new experience of the church, which is certainly broadening my horizons, and helping me to trust the Lord even more, and to see the many ways in which He makes His presence known in our church. In a very particular way, I'm very grateful here for the wonderful work that the Lord is doing in our youth and young adults, and seeing the way in which our young people are responding to the Lord's call, whether it be to enter seminary, whether it be to enter religious life, whether it be to engage in that important work of evangelization as lay missionaries. Our young people here in the Twin Cities and in this archdiocese give us a great source of hope, and for that I'm most grateful this Thanksgiving.
And that is Archbishop Hebda with a beautiful, thankful reflection on this last year and what he is thankful for. It's, you know, I got to tell you, and I think a lot of you would agree with me, I'm very thankful for Archbishop Hebda. He is a very warm, very, very pastoral, very caring father. And I have seen him in many groups and listened to him, and he is just a wonderful man of God. I thank you, God, for giving us such a good archbishop right now that will walk us through some difficult times and lead us into our next chapter here in the Archdiocese. Joining us also today is Father Michael Becker. He is the rector over at St. John Vianney College Seminary at St. Thomas. I think it's the largest in the country right now, which I got to tell you, I'm thankful for that. And the young men that are coming out of there, it's really a bright star in this country. Father Becker, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff. Wonderful to be with you again. I think I was with you last week, so it's a great joy to be with you again this week.
Yes, absolutely. And we wanted to hear from you. What are you thankful for this year?
Oh boy, first and foremost, I'm just thankful for the faith that I've been given as a gift through my family in Jesus and the church as shepherd, as mother, as guide, and then my vocation, yeah, to be a priest and to be able to serve at the seminary with 134 young men who are earnestly desiring the good, to pursue holiness, to discern what the Father's will is for them. And I'm grateful for my brother priests on staff, too, who join me here and are dedicated themselves many, many years in the field as pastors and now as spiritual directors and formators of seminarians. So I guess my family, all the people that are in my life, the faith and the people, it just means so much. I actually went down from a large room to a smaller room this year, and so I got rid of some clutter. And as I've looked around at what I was giving away, I thought, you know what, the things that are really going to last are, you know, love, and eternity with God and the saints and these relationships. So that's what I'm most grateful for.
Well, I thank you, Father Becker. You've done such a great job over there, and your predecessors did a great job, and just God is bringing so many wonderful things out of that seminary, and you hear about the work that you're doing all over the country. So I think I speak on behalf of many of our listeners saying thank you, Father Becker, for the work you're doing.
Yeah, awesome. You know, the Archdiocese has been through some difficult times, but the seminaries are rocking and rolling, and there are still young men who are answering the call unhesitatingly. They want to rise up and be a solution to whatever problems are in the world, and they earnestly seek God every day in a holy hour and daily Mass. And so it's a vision of hope, and I wish everyone could see it, but the future is bright with these young men.
Well, all I would ask, Father, is that after you eat all that turkey and you're laying on your back on the floor with that football game in the background, remember to pray for me.
Yes, Jeff, the perfect time. I'm sure I'll remember.
All right, thanks. That's Father Michael Becker over at St. John Vianney Seminary. You know, another bright spot in this archdiocese is the Catechetical Institute, with over 1,200 students who have gone through the Catechetical Institute two-year program and are out in parishes now serving and getting involved in ministries at their parish. It's been a privilege to work with Kelly Walquist, who has been involved with the Catechetical Institute, as well as Women in the New Evangelization. And we'd like to hear from her and what she's thankful for this time of the year. Kelly, hello.
Hey, hi, Jeff. Good to be here.
Good to have you on the show. So, Catechetical Institute and Women in the New Evangelization. First of all, you do have a conference coming up.
We do. We have a conference for WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, on February 6th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville.
How do you find out about that?
You can go to catholicvineyard.com and check under our events tab, or also at the Archdiocesan website.
Well, the Catechetical Institute has two full classes right now. Briefly tell us about that, and then I want to hear, what are you thankful for this time of year?
Yeah, we have two very full classes. We have two classes of over 200 students. Our class of St. Gianna is now in their final year and enjoying it. And we have a brand new class that is over at the Church of the Epiphany, and that is the class of St. Teresa of Avila. So we are busy. So what am I thankful for? I guess I'm thankful for that I'm so busy. I'm thankful that God has given me this work to do and these wonderful relationships with people. And with wine, I got to tell you, the relationships he has put in my path with these women that are in our archdiocese and around the country that are just on fire for the faith. And it has been one of the greatest blessings.
That's beautiful. Well, God is doing some great things in the Twin Cities. Catechetical Institute, I think, is one of those where we're seeing a lot of fruit, and it's the result of an awful lot of people doing an awful lot of work. And I'm thankful for you, thankful for the entire staff, and for women in the new evangelization. I know that you're working with quite a core team of women who are doing a lot of work. So thank you so much.
Well, and thank you. Thank you for your vision for the Catechetical Institute and your support of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. I am thankful for your thankfulness.
Okay, and I'm thankful that you are thankful for my thankfulness. Thank you very much. Hey, another thing that's happening in the Twin Cities is the work in the inner city, the work with people who have had a rough time in their life. And one of my friends who is so dedicated to working with people all the way from ex-prostitutes to you name it, he is down there and working with people every day. Over in the Frogtown area is my good friend John Tolo. Hello, John.
Hey, how are you today?
I am doing good. I got to tell you, I'm thankful for the work that you're doing. But I want to know what you're thankful for, John. First of all, tell us just a little bit about the work you're doing, and then I want to hear that good list of what you're thankful for.
Well, we've been working for the past 4 years in a neighborhood called Frogtown, which is right near the state capitol. It's an area that's kind of got a reputation as being a tougher neighborhood, although there's a lot of things that are shifting here. Because downtown has started to encroach out into our area with the new light rail that's going on University Avenue. So there's a lot of shifting in the neighborhood. But we've been working here on what we call a transformation mission project, really focused on seeing real practical ways that the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, as it's released both in evangelism and in ministry to individuals and families and the community brings transformation. So that's kind of what our focus is. We have a mission base that started out as a nickname called God Town, and now it's taken on that official title. And so we have the God Town mission base. It's a collection of properties and a community of people that's working with.
And if people want to find out more of how to get involved with what you're doing down there, where would you send them?
They could go to godtown.org, or they could check us out on Facebook. They could look up Godtown on Facebook, and they would find us. There's not any other Godtowns on there, and they could track a lot of the activities that we have going on and the testimonies and things like that.
So, John Tolo, you got about a minute to tell everybody in the Twin Cities what you're thankful for.
Well, I'm really excited that God has allowed us to be in the center of something that he's doing. We are very thankful that he has such a heart to see transformation, change happen in people's lives. And I'm very, very thankful that he's allowed me to be in the middle of it.
That's beautiful. You're doing such a good job. And every time I'm around you, you've got an infectious smile and joy about you. And I know that that comes from working hand in hand with the Lord every day, you and your family and all of your colleagues down there. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's John Tolo, Godtown. Look it up. Google it. Get involved. Well, this has been a beautiful show, listening to what's happening at St. Agnes High School, grade school, junior high, but also just this time of year of Thanksgiving. It's such a beautiful time of year when family comes together. And once again, I want to encourage you to cultivate all throughout the year an attitude of thanksgiving. You know, one of the problems that people run into is sometimes with all the worries and cares in their heart, they go to bed at night and they can't get to sleep. And you know how frustrating that is, don't you? You know, all of a sudden you look over, it's 1:07 a.m. You think, oh, I'll get to sleep pretty quick. You get up, have a cup of milk or glass of milk or something like that. You go back to bed and it's 2:33, and then it's 3:18. You think, wow, what do I do? Listen, I want to give you this for Thanksgiving this year. Psalm 119 and verse 62 talks about how if you can't sleep at night, rise up and do something. Don't turn the TV on. The infomercials don't have the answer for you. Selling real estate is not going to solve the problem on this one. It's give thanks. Give thanks to God. If you can't sleep at night, give thanks to God. If you are struggling with anxiety and worry, listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He said that he encouraged people to cultivate a life of thanksgiving in everything. Give thanks to God. And so this year, at the celebration of Thanksgiving, let's remember to keep Jesus at the center of this beautiful holiday and give him thanks more than anybody else, more than any other ministry. Let's just take a moment and give thanks to Jesus and his beautiful family, the church. Let's thank him for Pope Francis and for the saints and all of the sacraments and all the wonderful gifts that he has given us. Jesus, toda rabba. Thank you very, very much. A lot of things happening in the Twin Cities. When we come back from the break, we're going to let you know of a lot of opportunities to continue on in a life of Thanksgiving. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. What do members of Catholic United Financial think about attending or creating an estate planning seminar at your local community center, church, or school?
We went to probably, over the years, several of them before we finally decided it was maybe time to get something down concrete. We had John at our home and Dan with him. We were pleased to get it off the think stage and into the action stage. They were both very easy to work with. I may have to have them come back and re-explain what some of the things we did. I think one good way to go to sleep is reading insurance policies.
I'll second that. No,
yeah. Sometimes I have to kind of review what did we do? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Free and informational presentations for you or your group. Find your local Dan at Catholic United Financial by calling Ryan Selleck at 952-933-0780. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour, preparing for Thanksgiving with a heart of thankfulness. Paul, there's so many things happening in the Twin Cities. Anything for men out there?
Well, time to get the power tools out. The Church of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Maplewood invites all men to Men's Night Out, Friday, December 4th, 2015. Come for an evening of fraternity, prayer, and growth in virtue. The evening begins with Mass at 5:30, followed by dinner presentation on the Catholic Watchman by Jeff Cavins and Matthew James Christoff, and an hour of adoration. RSVP by December 1st online at presentationofmary.org or call the parish office 651-777-8116.
St. Jude of the Lake in Mata Mirai invites you to a Divine Mercy retreat on Friday, December 11th. From 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, December 12th, from 9 a.m. to 3:15 p.m. With the Jubilee Year of Mercy on our doorstep, an extraordinary opportunity lies ahead. Come learn intriguing, little-known facts and history surrounding these revelations given to St. Faustina in Poland in the 1930s. The retreat will be led by Dave and Joan Maroney, founders and directors of Mother of Mercy Messengers. To find out more, call the parish office at 651-
45.
Born without arms, Tony Melendez, whose unrestrained abilities as a guitarist have garnered national attention, brings hope to all who listen to his music and his words of encouragement. Come see Tony Melendez in concert at Assumption Catholic Church in Ridgefield, Wednesday, December 2nd, 7 p.m. Free will offering will be taken at the concert for Tony Melendez Ministries.
Join local Catholic musician Luke Spehar at the Historic Heights Theater on Thursday, December 3rd. Luke will be celebrating the holidays with friends and family in his first ever Christmas concert. Doors open at 7 p.m. and the show begins at 7:30. Tickets, they're $10. General admission available at Luke Spehar. That's LukeSpehar.com.
Mark your calendars for November 22nd and 23rd for a fun shopping experience at the Fall Market at St. Therese Catholic Church in Deep Haven. Stock up for the holidays with baked goods and gifts, including a bake sale, country store, silent auction, raffle, and books and puzzles. Open Saturday 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday 9 a.m. to noon. For more information, visit the parish website, st-therese.org. That's st-therese.org.
The Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne invites all grandparents to a day of encouragement, prayer, and fellowship, followed by a presentation by Father John Clockman, the Assistant Director of Spiritual Formation at the St. Paul's Seminary School of Divinity. Sign in on Monday, November 23rd at 8:45 a.m. in the Steiner Hall of the Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church in St. Paul. Refreshments will be served. For more information, you can go to their website, nativity-mn.org, or call 651-696-5401.
And there are just fantastic things coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
There are. You know what? Our next show is going to be so good, time doesn't give it justice to tell you how good that next show is going to be. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be coming back with more on the new evangelization. But coming up, remember, it's Thanksgiving. And we want to encourage you to be faithful and thank God in the little things and cultivate that life of Thanksgiving. And when the big ticket items roll around, it will be easy. God bless you and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.